Welcome to the Well Studying Podcast. This is episode 122. It's June 24th, 2015. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager at investablewealth.com. Today's episode is going to be a very abbreviated version. I'm taking the time to record this episode because I didn't get one out over the weekend. And here we are, it's already late Wednesday evening, and I haven't gotten anything out for the week. It's because I've been incredibly busy watching the market and trying to stay on top of this very topsy-turvy, very turbulent ping-pong market that we're currently experiencing. The issues around Greece have obviously been what's getting all the play in the media. Personally, I don't think that's the issue. I think Greece is just a distraction. I think it's something more than that. I'm not going to go into it all in this podcast. Today, I just want to take the time to provide you some analysis of where I think the market is, what may be happening. I also want to mention that I did make some trades this week. I announced those over in my blog. That's at investablewealth.com. As I've mentioned in past episodes, it's much easier for me to send out a quick article or blog post than it is to record a full audio episode of a podcast. So if you want to get my up-to-date feedback as to when I may be making trades or any type of quick commentary I want to get out about the market, the best place to find that is at investablewealth.com. You'll see an option on there that lets you subscribe to my email updates. Don't worry about getting spammed. I don't do that. The only time an update goes out is when I put out a blog post. You can scroll through my past articles and blog posts and see that it's fairly infrequently that I do send anything out. I only do it when I think it's important to get something out about the market, or when I have something to say in long format form, or I want to put out a chart or something. And then, of course, it's always easy to unsubscribe. And I specifically mention this for those of you that I've heard from that are, you know, wondering where the podcast episode is or why I'm not being more timely with the podcast. If you want those updates, you really do need to look at investablewealth.com. I will do my best, though, to continue to put out good quality, timely content in this podcast. As I said, this has been a really hectic week. I think you can hear from my voice that it's very strained. This week, I've not only been glued to the wire services trying to anticipate moves with the market, but I've also been engaged in a lot of conversations and discussions with people in an effort to validate and receive some consensus about what other people feel are going on in the marketplace right now. So again, I do apologize that we're just getting into the first episode for the week, but let's jump right into the market review. I told you last week to watch and see what happened on Friday. That was June 19th. It was options expiration day. We knew that by the definition of options expiration that we were going to see a huge amount of volume that day. But what we were really looking for was to see if there was a large sell-off. Now, the markets did stall that day. They ended up closing in the bottom part of their intraday trade. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed right at its 50-day moving average. The S&P 500 closed slightly above its 50-day moving average. What was reassuring was that there was not a major sell-off, though. The S&P 500 only dropped about 0.5%. Had it been over 1%, 1.2%, 1.5%, 2%, that would have been a huge red flag. It would have put it well below its 50-day moving average. That would have been a very worrisome sign. That didn't happen, and then in characteristic of this market, on Monday and Tuesday of this week, all the indexes bounced right back. The NASDAQ, in fact, went on to hit an all-time record high. But again, characteristic of this ping-pong market, that all fell apart today. The NASDAQ was down over 70 basis points, as was the S&P 500. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down almost 1%. Furthermore, the Dow Jones Industrial Average today broke below its 50-day moving average. That's obviously a red flag. And what's even more concerning is that today the Dow Transports, they were down almost 2%. They were down something like 1.9% today. This index, the Dow Transportation Index, is so critically important to the health of the overall economy because it's a broad representation of the airlines, of the railroads, and of the trucking companies that move things around in this country. So it's an excellent way to get a reading on the pulse of the economy. If people are flying less on business and vacation travel, and if the trucking companies and the railroads are hauling around less freight, then that means that the economy is not doing well. Last week, the Federal Reserve came out and for the second time this year lowered the GDP growth expectations. The forecast for this year has now been cut below 2%. They're saying 2015 growth should come in somewhere between 1.8% and 2%. When we started this year, they were calling for growth over 3%. This is just not a U.S. phenomenon. We're seeing this across the globe. even with Europe and countries like Japan that are profiting and seeing much better exports because of the strength of the U.S. dollar, those countries are not flourishing. You see, it's not that they're seeing exponential growth and that their economies are booming. The enthusiasm and the excitement about the economy in countries like Japan and in Europe, places like Germany, is based around the fact that they seem to have their deflation under control and they're not falling into recession. So it isn't that their economies are overheated. It's just that they're rising up above the abyss. And the problem with all this is that the stock markets are way ahead of all the economies. In the United States, corporate profits are slowing down. Now, it doesn't mean that they're negative. It just means that the rate of growth is slowing down. This is at the same time that the stock market, that the indexes keep going on to making all-time new record highs. Likewise in Europe, although they're starting to see a recovery there, the stock markets have recovered far faster than the economy on Main Street. That's the same thing we see in Japan. And then when we look at China, which will be lucky to grow at a rate of 7% this year, and although that sounds like a lot, you have to remember that just 3 or 4 years ago, they were growing at 12 to 14%. Right now, they're struggling to hit 7, and yet year-to-date, their stock market has gone up about 100%. Now, it did have a pullback last week, but it's stabilizing this week. My concern is that we're just seeing an awful lot of conflicting data, and the stock market continues to ignore it. As I mentioned earlier, the mainstream press is only concerned about Greece, and I think Greece is the least of our worries. I did a podcast on Greece back in February. I believe it was episode 86. If you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. My opinion hasn't changed since then. Greece is an issue, but whether it's in or out of the European Union, or whether they default or whether they don't default, it will be a fairly insignificant impact on the economy. Now, because of emotional reaction and market volatility and sensitivities, it could precipitate a pullback or correction in the market. That's no doubt. But in terms of the overall health of the economy, Greece is insignificant. Its GDP is too small to make a difference, and the amount of debt that they're talking about can easily be written off. And in fact, over the last 3 or 4 years, the Greek debt that was private, that was held by the banks, well, that's pretty much been consolidated into public institutions like governments and the ECB and the International Monetary Fund. And the contagion that we would have been worried about 3 or 4 years ago, well, that's been contained. But I digress. Let's go back to the stock market. We saw a steep pullback today in all the indexes, and as I mentioned in particular, the Dow Jones Transportations are faring not only poorly today, but they're down over 2% for the month, they're down well over 6% for the quarter, and year-to-date over the last 6 months, they're down well over 9%. Even if you factor in the downward movement of the transportation stocks due to the increases in fuel prices that we've seen over the last, say, 8 weeks, it still doesn't factor in how poorly they're performing. The transportations did extremely well from October of last year to about January of this year, but they've really fallen apart since then. There's been really no evidence of any type of a dividend or a bonus coming out of them because of the lower fuel costs. And in fact, if you go back and look at the performance of the Dow over the last year, which would take us back prior to the collapse in fuel prices, well, the Dow Jones Transportation Average is up barely 1% over the last 12 months. So in my opinion, that's obviously another indicator of the weakness, the overall weakness of this economy. Now, before I entirely lose my voice, I do want to cover one other topic with you on the S&P 500, and that's what's happening in relation to its 100-day moving average. As of today, the S&P 500 is just hovering slightly, barely above its 50-day moving average. You can almost say it's sitting on its 50-day moving average. If it can maintain levels above that 50-day moving average, that's obviously a good sign. My concern, though, is that it's only about half of 1% above its 100-day moving average. And so it's easy to see a scenario where on Thursday or Friday of this week, the S&P could drop below its 100-day moving average. And that's a key level, because for a very long time now, the 100-day moving average has been an extremely dependable level of support for that index. So if it were to fall below its 100-day moving average, and if it doesn't immediately, within a day or two, get back above that 100-day moving average, then that would be a very bad sign. Remember, it was just back in October, when the S&P fell nearly 10%, that it broke below its 100-day moving average, it stayed down there for a few days, and then it just couldn't get back above, and we saw one of the largest pullbacks we've seen in the last couple years. This time, obviously, it could be a lot more than 10% because we haven't seen a 20% pullback since 2011. Now, having said all this, I will step back and I don't want to sound all gloom and doomy because this market has been incredibly resilient. For the last 2 years, there's been almost nothing that can hold this market down. And the two things that I see that are very much in favor of this market holding up through the problems it's having now is number one, is that volume is holding up. You see, on the days that we've seen negative action in the market, it hasn't occurred with extreme volume. And that's even factoring in the fact that we're in June and in these summer months, we generally don't see as much trading. But the fact that we're seeing down days and we're not seeing huge institutional selling, that's a good sign. That tells me that the pension funds and the big institutional investors, for whatever reason, don't appear to be running for the exits. They're hanging in there and they're supporting this market and they're buying it on the dips. That's at least the way it appears. The other good news for this market is even if the S&P 500 does break down below its 100-day moving average, the second thing that I think is in favor for this market is that the 10-day moving average is still fairly high. It has a decent cushion above the 100-day moving average. Back in October when we saw that 10% pullback, not only did the price fall below the 100-day moving average, but within a day or two, the 10-day moving average had also broken below the 100-day moving average. Now, I know I'm talking a lot of numbers, and I know that may be hard to perceive in an audio podcast. I apologize for that. But those of you that I know are real wonky in this issue, you understand what I'm talking about. As critical as that 100-day moving average is, it really becomes a life support issue if that 10-day moving average breaks through. So going forward, that's what you want to watch. In the coming days, you want to see if the daily price of the S&P 500 drops below the 100-day moving average. And then if it continues to stay below that average for the next 5 or 6 days or so, and we get to the point where the 10-day moving average also breaches the 100-day moving average, then that's a problem. And that's where I think you want to be really concerned. If that doesn't happen, like I said, hey, this market is so resilient, I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it bounce back up and go on to hit new highs. Well, hey, thanks for joining me in this episode. I apologize again for waiting so long into the week to get this message out to you. This most likely will be the only podcast I do all week. Until next time, this is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.